midst of trials. Joy in the midst of, smack dab in the middle of trials. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we just ask that you, well, I don't have to ask for you to be with us because you're in us, so you're here. I just want to thank you then for being here with us. You are an ever-present help in time of trouble, so thank you for helping us. And what we need help with today is to hear your word. Not with the auditory receptors on the side of our heads, known as ears, but the metaphoric auditory receptors that are planted on the fleshy tables of our heart. Help us to hear your word for real, for real. Give us ears to hear. And I won't ask for the will to do, because that came when we were saved. I ask that we exercise the will that we already have and do your word. And I thank you for allowing the air to come on in the name of Jesus while we're praying. Help us to focus on the word tonight. Help us to get out of the way. Please. We matter too much. We really do. Help us to live for you forevermore. Help us to live as Christ. For us to live is Christ. The literal Greek, for us to live, Christ. You're our helper, and we thank you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a helper, don't we?
Thank you, Lord.
That's good news, isn't it? Thank God for the helper. Thank God for the helper. The longer I walk with the Lord, the more grateful I am for his help. And the more I realize that apart from him, I can do nothing. We hear it for decades, some of us. But the more you really walk with him, the more you understand how true that is, that apart from him, you can do nothing. And when somebody come up to you out the blue and say something real crazy and your flesh just goes ziggity boom, you know the only reason you didn't kill them was because of the grace of God, or cuss them out, or hit them, or do something ungodly to them, is because of the grace of God. And when you walk away from that, giving God half the glory, maybe, because we probably did say some things, you realize, wow, if it wasn't for your grace, man, back in the day, I would have flipped him, or I'd have said some things and gave him a piece of my mind, you know. And we realize, no goodness of our own. I remember the Lord telling me, that you walk around here with your chest stuck out. You know, we don't even know that unless the Lord tells us. We think we've been humble, but he knows everything. Amen. You walk around here with your chest stuck out, paraphrasing something like this, but do you realize that the only reason you haven't had an affair is because of me? Not because of you, because of me. Now don't you go around here thinking that you're all that in a bag of chips. You know, I ain't have. No, the bottom line is, he said, boy, if I wasn't with you, you'd have been done. Like so many millions of other men. That's humbling. But it's necessary. Because don't you think for a moment that you can get yourself out of situations that you've gotten yourself into, that you've gotten yourself into. Thinking that, oh man, I'm good with this. I done handled all this before. I ain't did nothing yet. But realize the yet is only by the grace of God.
Amen.
There is no way in the world that you can even begin to have joy in the middle of a trial, tests, troubles, and sufferings, but by the grace of God. But by the power of God. But by the compassion of God and the mercy of God. And I'm good with that. I'm thankful. We are weak. We are very weak. And the demon on the lowest level of that kingdom, remember, stratified, I think that's the right word. There's various layers. There's principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickednesses in the high places. There's levels. The lowest level. And then he can have arthritis. And steel will whip us. Am I right, Word of Life? We better know that. We're no match for the kingdom of darkness. There's a whole kingdom that's arrayed against every single one of us. We cannot take a day off. You can't take an hour off. What do you mean by off? I mean relaxing. Well, I'm having a good day. Let me just kind of chill. Let me go out on my porch and just sit down and look around my kingdom. Next thing you know, you done snatched someone else's wife, had sex with her, killed her husband, because you thought everything was okay. It's a good day, it's sunny, it's nice, the breeze is just so, the humidity is just right. I think David's, the Lord breaking us down with David's sin is beautiful to let us know and remind us, you can't afford to take not one day off. He on his porch chilling, just looking, you know, because obviously if he's sitting in the palace, he's sitting high and above. So he's seeing for miles around. You could teach a whole thing on that. While you're relaxing, guess what can happen? You can see or hear something that you ought not to see or hear, and pull you into sin when 5 minutes ago you was having a great day, and now all of it has turned sideways. A perpetual and forever homework assignment is whenever you start to feel a little relaxed and chilly most, go get Private Ryan. Watch the first half hour. Am I right, David? You had the group do that. Was little brother there when that happened?
First time I saw
it. Yeah, was it? Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Very intense. That's how serious it is in the spirit realm. And you know, I don't care. That's rerun. I don't care. I keep mentioning it. I'm going to keep mentioning it. Because too many pastors and congregation members have taken a hour off, a half hour off, and ended up way off somewhere they were never supposed to be. Amen. Absolutely. Pastor take in one of my students, and next thing you know, he had two babies with her. She was 14. Married 25 years. Doing a good deed because the mother and father were both on crack. He's married, grown children. You know, hey, take in, you know. And again, do not act or be led by need. Never forget when my preacher friend down in Texas, Rodney Pearson, told me, don't be moved by need. You be moved by the Spirit of the Lord. Romans 8:16, they that are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Don't be moved by need. Folks in distress, that doesn't mean you're supposed to be the one to deliver them. Don't be so quick to play the knight in shining armor. Because bottom line, you, me, us can't help nobody apart from him. We can water all day, we can plant all day, but if God don't give the increase, it ain't growing. There are no results. Except God build a house, they that build it labor in vain. Your labor is empty. Vain means empty, worthless, and useless. Futile. Maybe that's a word, because that's all that's way over here, but that's a word for all of us. And maybe because there's a lot of glowing need right now. From red, brown, yellow, black, and white, rich or poor, male or female. I mean, the mental situation with folks nowadays is at an all-time high. And in our compassion, we will be tempted to just start helping or thinking we're helping. Instead of saying, Lord, what should I do? Because you know what? The devil said, well, it's obvious. I mean, the person you have is obvious. Help them. Nah, be careful. Friend of ours, married, and, you know, teacher, you told, heard this before. The Lord told him, don't leave school early. Just a few minutes early, but still don't leave early. And he kept telling them, don't leave school early. I know the students are out, you're free to go, but don't leave early. I told you it got so real, if you will, that when he got into the car, started the car, he heard it again. Don't leave. Leave it early. That he looked over to the drive, to the passenger seat and said, ah, as if the Lord was sitting there. He looked over there, ah, waved them off and left early. And sure enough, there was a scheme set up down the road. He didn't know. There was a damsel in distress. Car broken down. And you know how we have the knight in shining armor syndrome. And he got out to help her. And when he did, a guy came out and pulled the gun. Stunned him. But he had the wherewithal to do a crazy move that saved his life, really. He reached into his jacket as if he had a gun. He had nothing in there. But it threw the guy so that it gave him a moment to turn around and run, get back to his car. And then a chase ensued throughout the city, running down the wrong side of the street. He ended up getting to a police station. When he got home, he shook and cried for I don't know how long after that. And the Lord reminded him, I told you not to leave. See, we think we are Ford Motor Company. We have a better idea. Because that was their slogan years ago. Ford has a better idea. And the light bulb will come on. Don't let the devil even begin to sell you that lie. You don't have a better idea. And you better know when the spirit of truth is speaking and when the enemy is speaking. My sheep know my voice, Jesus said, and he doesn't make a mistake. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. But you better know both voices. You better be intimately acquainted with both voices so that you'll know, yep, that's Jesus, and no, that's not. This walk with the Lord is an internal walk. I said is an internal walk. We're to live our lives from the inside out. That's what transformation is in that verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That transformation means to let what's inside be shown on the external. Don't let the external come on you and you looking just like them. But show them what's inside. What is inside? Your regenerated self, the real you. Let the characteristics of that person, the real you, shine outwardly. And that's done by the renewing of your mind. Our walk with the Lord is an internal walk. It's inside out. That's where joy is found. Joy is internal. Joy is not external, it's internal. quick reminders. Again, joy is generated by what? I remember.
Humility.
Humility, thank you. Joy is generated by humility. People lose their joy when they become what?
Self-centered.
Thank you. Selfish. You know that. Just go and watch any biography of some star or some entertainer or some whatever, and you'll find that their lives were miserable because fame doesn't bring satisfaction, at least not any long-lasting satisfaction. When you are self-centered, you are miserable. If you are selfish, you're miserable. Why? Because you're at the center of your own universe, and you're going to try to do everything you can to please you. And when you live your life that way, you're going to be stepping on everybody else around you, trying to get yours. This is a get mine generation. I'm going to get mine. But what the rest of that sentence is, no matter what I have to do to get it and who I have to hurt to get it. That's the rest of that sentence. For men will be lovers of themselves. This is the me generation. You want to lose your joy? Become self-centered. You want to lose your joy? Think you deserve better. That's what misery sets in. That's where misery lives. Misery lives in I deserve better. Because you're going to always think you deserve better. Even if you get what you deserve at this level, you're going to always want more. So you're thinking, well, now I got to deserve this. Well, I ought to have this. Life wasn't designed on a you deserve better. Life wasn't designed for your self-centeredness. As we're learning on Sunday, we're living for His glory. Yes. To live Christ, period. Exclamation point. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It is our refuge, Nehemiah 8:10. It is our stronghold. Why? Because that's where the Almighty God is, our Almighty God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We talked about Jesus saying when folks hate you, ostracize you, insult you, and scorn your name as evil, that you're to be glad in that day. Sometimes I still wonder if we think as Jesus was confused. Jesus, you just said in the previous verse that when people hate you, which means to abhor, are hostile, and are bitter towards you, and that's enough there. We got and, yeah, and ostracize you, mean they give you the cold shoulder, they exclude you, they banish, shun, ignore, and snub you. Okay, can we just stop there? No. And insult you on top of all of that, which means to verbally abuse, offend, to be rude to slight you. And scorn you, which means to sneer, disrespect, to ridicule your name, your character, your person as evil. I might can halfway deal with you hating me and ostracizing me and insulting me, but when you are trying to smear me, my character as evil, that's hard. But he says, if all of that happened, you're hating, you're being hated, ostracized, insulted, and scorned, for the sake of the Son of Man, be glad in that day. The day that you're being abused and hated and ostracized, insulted, and scorned, in that day, be glad and leap, skip, gallop for joy. I mean, you know the question asked me as Lord God Almighty. I know you're not crazy. You don't make mistakes. You're not confused. You're not getting old. You know what you're saying. So then our question ought to be, not are you confused? Are you getting old? Is dementia setting in? Do you know what you just said? You know you said that out loud, don't you? Don't ask those questions. The question is, I know you're perfect. So then my next question is, how in the world can I do that? How can I leap, gallop, and skip for joy when I've just been insulted, scorned, hated, snubbed, and my name dragged through the mud as evil? How do I leap for joy in that day? That's a good question. That's the right question. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is truly your Kurios, your Lord, and you are truly his doulos, slave, then the question is, okay, Lord, how do I do that? But you know what? That's not our question. That's not what we ask. We receive that with contempt. We scoff at that. And I ain't letting nobody walk over me. Shoot. Wives, obey your husband. Are you crazy? One of my mother's friends, my mother was giving her the testimony about her leaving her job because my dad wanted her to and stay home and take care of the children. Husbands, obey your wives as unto the Lord. We tend to skip those last four words, but as unto the Lord is the key. I mean, wives, obey your husbands, rather, as unto the Lord. So my mother's friend asked her, said, Ermadine, are you reading out the same Bible? Bible are you using? True question. This woman had been in the church for, you know, years and years. She said, no, I'm not going to work anymore. And her husband happened to be joining the conversation, and he was entering the room, maybe passing through. And he said, I wish my wife would leave her job. I would be happy if she left her job. To which the wife replied, then you'll never be happy. So wives, obey your husband, that's just a joke. It don't mean anything. She said in her, just as if she said, well, it's sunny outside. You'll never be happy. And both of them are supposed to be Christians. Of course, they got a divorce. Yeah, she married another man. Is it any surprise when we don't obey the word of God? When we don't stick to the cookbook? When we don't mix in the right ingredients? All the ingredients are there for Christian godly living, to live Christ. All of how to do that is in God's word. Now, when you're born again, you have the strength, you have the ability, you have the capability, you have the wisdom to live out this life. You can laugh and skip and be glad and leap for joy. You can, because he commanded us to do that. And there is no command that he's given that we cannot obey. What we tend to do is to look at these commands in our own strength through our own eyes, in our own wisdom. And in that, from that vantage point of view, you'll never, ever do that. Now I can see why you say, Jesus is crazy. Can't nobody do that. But we're born again. We have the power of God. He said, be strong in grace, in the Lord. The literal Greek is be empowered with strength. Strength. Be strong. Be empowered with his strength and in the power of his might. It's not your strength. It's not your wisdom. It's not your word, but the word of God. And so we ask him, I know we can do it because you said it. So tell us how to do that. We talked about it. This is, a month or the fifth straight week. It begins with the mind. That's where it's going to start. You have no shot apart from getting this renovated. You have no shot. There's no way you can do that thinking the way we think about troubles and hardships and insults and being hated and being treated bitterly and abused. Because our instinct is a fight back to get back. You are not going to treat me this way. Mm-hmm. Had to put up with my uncles. Some of y'all saw Color Purple. Yes. That's what we think. You ain't getting no way. My husband treat me this way. That's the last person on earth gonna ever treat me like that. Doggone it. Dagnabbit. And although that sounds passionate to us as human beings, yeah, baby, I feel you. In fact, come on, I'll go help you beat this dude up. That's not godliness. He didn't say, feel sorry for the woman who's been beaten by the husband or the this, that, and the other. And then if anybody, yep, you're right, don't let nobody else. That's not what he said. He said, leap for joy. He didn't say, seek vengeance. And that's hard. Thank you. I give that to you. But I'm not going to let that be the last word. It's hard, but we're still expected to leap for joy because he said it. And if I don't land there and tell you this flat-footed without backing up, I'm not any good as your pastor. I ain't worth two dead flies. Either I'm going to teach the word or I'm going to walk away from it. Half-truths just don't work. This church here does not deal in Christianity light, L-I-T-E. Tastes great, less filling, but not really. Less effective is more accurate. You're just getting the foam from the root beer. The foam is air. No substance. I can stay. Look here. Do y'all know I know how to fill this church up? Just preach like Joel Osteen. Yeah, I said the name. Just be soft and just talk to you just like this. And I could change my tone and kind of smile and sing at you while I'm talking and just tell you we can live our best life now. God has just for you what he wants you to have. I don't know what that just means, but figure it out. And the church will be filled up because I become one of those itching ear preachers giving people what they want to hear. I'd rather preach to 10 forever than to 10,000 with foam from a root beer. You can best believe that. Our minds have to get right. We need to train and develop our minds. Train and develop our minds. From athletes, practice. You know what that is? When you're practicing, you're training and developing muscles and your mind and things of that nature to prepare for this particular game or this particular event. Well, that's what we must do to prepare for a Christian walk in the face of difficulty. We must train and develop our minds. To do what? To focus on things above. Amen. Not on things on the earth, but things above. And we must train and develop our mind to focus on things above while we're in the midst of the trial. Mm-hmm. How about that? You'll never get to that in the middle of that storm unless you start preparing what? Before the storm starts. That's why it ought to be every day. You don't want to walk into Private Ryan. I'm talking about where you know it's Private Ryan. It's Private Ryan every day all around us. God is just gracing us and mercying us so that we don't know that that's going on in the spirit realm. But I'm talking about when the storm hits and we know about it. You want to already, back when it was relative calm in your life, work on training and developing your mind to focus on things above. Absolutely. so that when the trial hits, you've been training and practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing, 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 just over and over again, just over and over again, practicing. And then when that storm hits, boom. Because you've done it over and over and over until it becomes, I love the phrasing from, I think it's Kenneth Vieste, the theologian, as a force of habit. It's so habitual that it forces you right over to that. You do it with almost without even thinking. But you'll never get to that unless you practice here. Yeah. How many times have I been begging them, Sister Orlando? 20 years. Be 20 years tomorrow, by the way. Word of Life will be 20 years old tomorrow. August 6th. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. You'll never get to that. I've always have been begging whoever comes in this church, please get closer to the Lord, learn His word, get to know Him while there's relative calm in your life. Because storms are a-coming. Amen. You can best believe that. And I warned you for 20 years that even if your life is halfway together, you have sister, you have nephews and brothers and mothers and uncles and cousins who are just as crazy as all get out. The 2:30 phone call, come, you know, it's okay, crazy brother got kids, but that's going to still affect you. And if you don't stay focused, because that's an opportune time, you're broken, you're grieving, you're sad, you're broke. The devil says, you don't say, oh, let me break, let me leave him alone. Let me leave them alone. And then they had in a real bad way. No, it's like, that's a more favorable and opportune time for Satan to attack. I hope you heard that. Because if that's the case, then I mean, you got to stay on guard all the time. Not like, well, man, I'm grieving. I can't. No. Can't afford it. We have to learn to focus. We must train and develop our minds to focus on things above and not on things on the earth while in the middle of the trial. We read Colossians 3, 1 and 2. You can read back over that yourselves. He said, in view of this fact, you have been raised up with Christ. Seek the things which are above, present, active, imperative. Keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ is seated. Remember the word preoccupied. I like that word, because that's another word for focus. Preoccupied means to absorb or engross to the exclusion of other things. I mean, you are so locked in that everything else disappears. You exclude everything else in your mind. It means to concern oneself, to be consumed with, to immerse oneself, in this case, in the things of heaven. To absorb or engross to the exclusion of other things. You are so engrossed with heaven. One of the young men was listening to the series on heaven. He said, man, that is, he said, you just don't hear talk about heaven, let alone a series on it. And that is so true. Very few people are talking about heaven. Most are talking about the here and now. The right now, and how to get mine right now. Be preoccupied with heaven. Who's there where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? So you're preoccupied not just with heaven, some place out there, but who's in heaven? God the Father, your Lord and my Lord. You're thinking about their being exalted and magnified. Magnified again, remember from Sunday, means to set loose and be free to live in our lives. We want to magnify Him. We want Him to be loosed and set free, to put Him on display. And we ought to keep seeking, present, active, imperative, present, ongoing, active. You're doing it, imperative, it's a command. Keep seeking those things which are above. How do we do that? By setting our minds on things above, and not on things on the earth. We have to begin to elevate from the things of this world, our minds from the things of this world, to that which is in heaven. Amen. Look forward to it, knowing that God is coming. Jesus is coming back. Thank you, Lord. In heaven, there is no sin there. No more tears. No more black lies, white lies, any lies matter. All of that is gone. All that's over with. There is no racial hatred. There are no races there, but one group, all worshiping. There's going to be red, brown, yellow, black, and white. One theologian kind of played with the mathematician, kind of played with the number and said maybe as many as 20 billion Christians. That's going to be phenomenal. And we're going to all get along perfectly forever. I'm gone. I see y'all. Scotty beamed me up. Man, are you serious? You want to be here? I mean, you really understood what I just said right there. You want to stay? You better not resuscitate me. We gonna fight for real. I know, baby, I know. But you got to let it go. Oh, Lord. I preach myself happy. But I've had a 13-year jump on a lot of some of you all, because all this hit me like the Lord gave me all this probably about the mid-2000s. And I thank God. Probably about 2004, 2005, something like this. It's been about 15 years thinking like this, and I thank God for that. I thank God for that. I can't wait to get out of here. But I thank God for the teaching on Sunday, because my life is Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Living for Him. I'm not here for me. I'm here for Him. So He wants me here, then I'm thankful to be here, because that's what He wants. And I want Him to be glorified. I want His will done in my life. It's all about Him and not me. And so we ought to begin to elevate our mind, our thinking. We need to practice, train and develop our minds through practice, to look at things and set them on things above and keep seeking the things which are above. Be preoccupied with heaven. God the Father, Christ seated at the right hand, the angels crying day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, meaning He's eternal. He has no beginning of days, no end of life. That's where you ought to fix your hope, fix your thoughts, fix your mind. Does it mean to just neglect life down here? Nope, I'm not telling you that. Y'all got a wedding to plan for. You got to still plan for that. Don't get crazy. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't let that have the preeminence. You still have to do your jobs. Catherine, how many students in a year do you see about?
About 150.
Yes, you can't afford to just let this go. And she's, I'm the same way, about the same amount. And we're talking about middle schoolers who need you and two other people to help them out. I'm not saying let this life go. You have a relationship with your mom. My relationship, you guys should work on that. You got sisters you're praying for. You got, who are you praying for in particular? Your sister, your daughter, but your mother? You got life still got to go on. You say, well, Lord, I'm not fully sure. I'm not quite sure how I worked it out. Fine. That's a prayer. But then show me how to negotiate it. I hear you. Seek those things. Keep on seeking those things that are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Show me how that looks like. How do we walk that out? But what the one thing He's going to show you is that you and I, at times, we allow, and too often, allow the things of this earth to supersede the things above, thinking on things above. That's where the problem comes in. We think about things above, but when certain problems happen, then those things above start down here, and here we are up here with my life, my life, my life. And Lord, when I'm starting to feel that way, show me how to walk it through, get it back in balance. Yes, Lord. That's training. That's training. When you give a little fellowette, basketball, how they throwing up with two hands, it's too heavy. But through training, as they get older, as they get stronger, they can get it up there, bring it up with two, release it with one. But it comes with training. You got to train your mind. And I'll tell you what's a great place to start, or hopefully continue for most, is you keep that word going in your mind daily. Keep meditating the word. That's a great place. In fact, that's a great thing to do, to keep your mind set on things above, is to meditate the word.
Yes.
Reading the word is cool. I know this controversial. I'm not necessarily a big fan of just reading the word. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, because we tend to read the word and then, well, got that done. Woo! Okay, let me go on out of here and do that. That's the danger behind that. Well, got that out the way. I'd rather for you to take one word, dig into it to the Greek, and let the meaning of that just marinate in your mind all day long. It's not volume. It's not quantity. It's quality. Do you understand what you just read? Proverbs says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Get wisdom. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. As we get ready to close again, at the same exact spot. Sunday, we learn what the word magnify means, or to be exalted. It means to unloose and set free. When Apostle Paul said that Christ may be exalted in me, in my body, whether by life or by death, it means may Christ be set free. And may Christ be unloosed in me so that people see Christ being exhibited, being put on display. That's a great word to meditate. Is he being unloosed in my life, or do I have him bound in the basement of my life and gagged? And all people see and hear is me. Well, we need to unloose him and set him free so that he's free to be on display and glorified, so that when they've seen me, they've seen the Father and not me. That's something to meditate. Meditate on that for a week. You'll be changed by the end of that. I guarantee you. Can you see how that's heavenly minded? How that's going to put you out of yourself? How about this one? How about meditating? I count my life of no account as dear to myself. Just meditate that half. That one there is messing me up real good, in a good way. But it's been good, because this week I used it. Because when I started fishing, I said, you know what? You ain't worth two dead flies. You don't matter. Let it go. No big deal. You don't matter. Now, that's just the opposite living in America. That's just the opposite. America, you only matter. And nobody else. But in God's America, in his spiritual America, you don't matter. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus didn't count his life as dear. He came to die. He didn't come to live. He came to die. He had to live in order to die. But he came to die. Father God, help us to not count our lives as dear unto ourselves. That's a simple prayer. I pray that. And help us to seek and keep on seeking those things above, where our Lord is seated at your right hand. Help us to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Help us to be preoccupied, absorbed, and engrossed to the exclusion of everything else with you, Father. Help us to live for you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.